Welcome to High Desert Dialogue, your community affairs program heard on. Welcome to High Desert Dialogue. You're 102. Cat Country 100 point. Welcome to the Fox. Dog 9. Welcome to 96.3. Now, here's your host for High Desert Dialogue, Roxanne Scafidi.
Hi, it's Roxanne Scafidi for High Desert Dialogue. We present to you a special Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders program.
I'm a visionary, I'm a leader, I'm extraordinary. Though life can get you down sometimes, it seems, I'll never let it take away my dream.
Hi, this is Regina Weatherspoon Bell. Welcome to our special Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders program featuring some extraordinary people. Thank you for joining us. What an opportunity for me. Today's guest is a longtime personal friend and an incredible woman of achievement. She's an accomplished tennis pro who played for 12 years on the WTA Tour. She serves on a variety of boards, is a contributor on CBS Sports Network, first all-female sports show, We Need to Talk. She is currently the chairman of the board, CEO, and president of the United States Tennis Association. She is the first African-American, first former professional tennis player, and the youngest person to serve as president in the organization's 135-year history. It's beyond my joy and honor to welcome my friend, Miss Katrina Adams. All right, so I am so excited to have on as a special guest somebody who I've known for quite a long time, just so really proud, this person that I call my friend. And so, Katrina, I want to start off by asking you this question. After you assumed your role in 2015 as chairman of the board, CEO, and president of the United States Tennis Association, how has life changed for you?
Well, it's I don't want to say it's changed. I will say that it has gotten extremely busy, though. it's a huge responsibility taking that role. We are the national governing body of tennis in America and responsible for growing tennis in America. So, you know, we're dealing with tennis from the grassroots all the way up through the U.S. Open, of which we own, and have been fortunate enough to own that, which that allows us to fund our mission. So I am on the road an awful lot internationally as well as domestically, but it's been quite rewarding.
And when you say that, can you expand upon that a little bit about how it's been rewarding for you?
It's rewarding because I have the ability to truly lead an organization to make a difference in millions of people's lives through the sport of tennis by putting rackets in people's hands, by providing programs that are interesting, that are invigorating, that are exciting for our youngest player at the age of 4 to our oldest player to 94, to really just go out and enjoy the sport. It's a sport that's been around obviously for hundreds of years, but to know that I have the ability to strategically put the organization in a successful position with my board of directors and working with the staff is quite rewarding.
And so this is your second term, correct?
I am in my second term, finishing my first year of my second term, third year overall. So I'll have one more year in 2018.
Okay. And let's look forward a little bit. So at the end of that term, what is it that you personally hope that you have accomplished?
Well, when I took office, I had a few initiatives that I wanted to focus on. One was really focusing on what I call the Hispanic initiative. Mm-hmm. And that's really getting more Hispanics and Latinos into our sport. It's the fastest growing demographic in the U.S., mm-hmm. but yet it was the smallest percentage of players, competitive players, that we have in our sport. And so I set out to really make sure that we were accomplishing that. We have grown 15%.
Great.
within that community and that culture, and hopefully we can get more traction next year and continue to grow beyond that. But it was an opportunity for us to realize, you know, as we really focus on diversity and inclusion within the USDA, we focused on four pillars with the African American, Asian American, Latino Hispanic, and the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hispanics were the lowest percentage. So I'm excited about the initiatives that we've put forward to engage these different cultures, because there's so many different cultures in the Hispanic Latino community. And so you have to make sure that you're sending the right messenger in with the right message to engage and include these families. And, mm-hmm. and so I'm excited about where that's gone. Another thing was to make sure that we spent a little more time with our high school players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of high school players that only play seasonally. So they're multi-sport kids or multi-sport student athletes. And so they would play 10 weeks of tennis and then move on to basketball or soccer or whatever their other interest was, and not really play consistently throughout the year. So we also created some programs and opportunities and competitions for these players to be a little more consistent outside of their high school seasons. And we're really talking about more of the recreational level players, not your competitive players that are playing tournaments mm-hmm. week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also been a huge success. And the other one is, you know, it's not measurable, but it's something that was near and dear to my heart. And it was really about bringing sportsmanship back into our sport. Tennis was really built on sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, the attitudes, the behavior of the players, parents and coaches alike, had just gotten bizarre on many occasions, and where winning was too much of the focus and it wasn't really about developing and enjoying and embracing the sport
mm-hmm.
And having fun with it. So, you know, we were able to come up with player oaths at our national tournaments, where the players would sign these oaths or they would stand up and make these pledges. And, you know, it's kind of cool that the players are kind of gravitating to it, and
right.
the parents were starting to buy back into it, right. and we'll see where that goes. But it's all about getting the youth in the sport and keeping our adults engaged and our senior players healthy.
Great. Now, I want to go back just a little bit, because your path to getting here, right? You became a tennis pro in 1988.
Yeah.
And you have several things that you accomplished in that career. I call it a successful career. I believe you do too. Can you talk to us a little bit about maybe a highlight or two of your career and kind of what set you on the path to now being able to serve in this capacity?
Well, I was very fortunate, you know, having played at Northwestern University and winning the NCAA championship in doubles my sophomore year. I actually turned pro following that.
Mm-hmm.
I played for 12 years, ranked as high as 8 in the world in doubles, 67 in singles, winning 20 doubles titles and one singles title.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 12 years is a pretty healthy career.
Yes.
But it wasn't so much about my accomplishments on the court as it was off the court. I was always engaged in the politics of the sport. I served on the WTA Players Association board, the WTA Tour board, really from like my sophomore year on the tour till the end. So for me, it was always about being involved, making a difference, and seeing how I could leave an impact on the sport and be a part of change and growth. So it's always been instilled within me. And so when I retired, I actually became a national coach, mm-hmm. working for the USCA for about 4.5 years, working with our younger competitive players that were, you know, developing to be stars, and really focusing on the young ladies that were, whose goals were to transition from juniors to professional tennis. And so I got to understand the USTA a little bit better. Still didn't understand what they offered from a grassroots level, only because I was always high level. But then I had an interest in joining the board. Mm-hmm. And once I joined the board and truly got to understand who we were and what we're about, and all the kids that are introduced to the sport by the USTA, and all the programs that are getting, you know, resources and assistance from the USTA, and programs that, you know, I grew up in Chicago, but also one that I engaged with here, the Harlem Junior Tennis and Education Program. Then I realized that it was something that I wanted to, one, learn more about, to be more engaged and really have the ability to have an impact in changing the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you know, after many years on the board, I was nominated to be a vice president. And then once I became an officer, I started to look at it through a different lens and a different mindset to say, wow, how can I truly make a difference? And what is it that I can bring to the table that's different from everyone else? And so I look at my entire career from growing up in the inner city of Chicago, you know, playing junior tennis, high school, collegiate, professional, as a commentator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is not really a facet of the sport that I hadn't touched, or people within those arenas that I didn't know. And so I knew that I had the ability and the knowledge and the mindset to be able to communicate with any and everyone within the sport on any level, and to use my experiences to the best of my ability to make sound decisions.
Yeah, because you know what? I remember during a period of time when you were really, I'm going to say, advocating and really got your hustle on to, as a sportscaster, I'm going to say, right?
Right. Right.
And that was like, what was that, Kat? Like late 90s? Early 2000s?
Early 2003, I started working for Tennis Channel. So, that was a great time, though, in my career as well, because that was a time that I was no longer competing. I wasn't really that active, but it kept me in the sport. Brought me back to the top of the game as I was, calling Grand Slam tournaments and, you know, many of the tournaments here in the U.S. and abroad. And so I was able to reengage with and build my relationships with some of my past competitors, my contemporaries, but also build relationship with the newer generation that was coming up. So, you know, when you put all that together and you have that, those relationships and the bond, and you see the issues and hear, you know, as a good listener. So you hear about some of the challenges. That was also, you know, an opportunity for me to think deeper and bigger to figure out how can I be engaged and make a difference.
Yeah. This program has been made possible by the generous support of Shear Realty, exceeding expectations for over 37 years. Visit us online at dvlproject.com and follow us on Facebook. Now I want to get a little bit more personal into you, because in order to do what you have done and accomplish what you have accomplished, there is a discipline in addition to just the talent, but there's a discipline and a drive to stick to it, right? And I want to know, and I want you to share with our listeners, What is that? Where do you find that in you? What is that thing that once you set your mind to something, it's like, I'm all in?
Yeah, it's I've been very fortunate. I mean, it's pretty innate within me. I've always been driven. Once I set my mind on something, that I don't stop until I've completed it. But I also think it's part of the qualities of being a tennis player has given me. I mean, tennis provides, to be at the highest level, you have to be self-motivated, driven. Mm-hmm. You have to be disciplined. You have to have dedication and devoted. You know, I have the five edicts that I live by, which is discipline, dedication, determination, drive, and devotion. And that's all in me with everything that I do. So, you know, from initially getting involved with something and understanding and learning and studying and reading and listening, you get more engaged and you start to develop your own perspective and own outlook on things. And I think that's something that having gotten into the business side of the sport, that's what motivates me every day is, you know, one, the learning. Every day is a new day, so you're always going to learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to always think on your toes and, you know, juggle a few things.
Right, multitask.
And yeah, multitask and be flexible. And so I think those are the qualities that I've had. You know, and I watched my parents, I guess, as a kid. You know, my parents were teachers. And so just knowing my schedule as a child and watching them juggle schedules with my brothers and me and making sure that we were where we needed to be and doing what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. And yet they were working and coming in and, you know, and getting their lesson plans out and grading papers. But yet they were also going to board meetings of community organizations, mm-hmm, that they were involved with. So I saw it early on with my parents giving back. No matter how little time they had, they made sure they made time for things that mattered. And that's something that, you know, and witnessing that was instilled with me and understanding what hard work does. And I think that's pretty much how I got to where I am.
Now, you just mentioned giving back. And since 2005, you've been the executive director of the Harlem Junior Tennis and Education Program, right?
Correct.
So there's no doubt that you've got a love for not only the sport, but you really have a love for our youth, because that's not just a program, as I understand it, that focuses on just the sport, but it focuses on their academics. It focuses on principles and core values, right?
Correct.
And so what are the words of wisdom that you share with those young people to try and motivate them to be their greatest?
Well, I think it's you know, every individual obviously is different, and it's understanding what makes them tick. But at the end of the day, for all of them, it's about making sure that they work hard to be the best that they can be, not what others think they can be, but the best that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to the sport, not everyone is going to be a winner. Not everyone's going to be a champion. But if you work hard and you know that you've put everything into it, whatever the result is, you can be proud of it, whether it's a win or a loss. And for tennis correlates with how you deal with everything. So it has to do with, what is your attitude in school? You know, are you a student that pays attention? Are you the student that's lazy? Are you falling asleep in class? All of that shows up on the tennis court.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're kind of lazy around the court, that's who you are in life. That's how you deal with your homework, how you're dealing with your studies. And so we really try to motivate the youth through the sport to really have a little oomph behind them and make sure that they are paying attention to detail And that teaches them, you know, the qualities that they need in the classroom. So we are about tennis, we're about education, we're about wellness. So we provide tutoring, we have homework help, we have all the assistance that our youth need, not to just deal with the child that may be lacking in studies, but also to enrich those that are pulling in the good grades, to help enhance them and take them to the next level. So we want to instill hard work and discipline in our student athletes that come through the program, in hopes that, you know, there's a match both on the tennis court and in the classroom. But we want to use tennis as that vehicle to help them earn a college scholarship. And the college scholarship could be through their athletics, or it could be through their academics. Or it could be a combination of both, because not everyone has the opportunity to get a full scholarship. But there may be there's some assistance for our youth. And we also focus on wellness with mind, body, and soul, and making sure that they are in the best shape possible, that they are eating healthy and learning nutritional values that make them strong, that make them sharp, that, you know, keeps their brain active, and to make sure that, you know, they're mentally motivated to be focused, you know, on the psychological level. So we, you know, we're 46 years young, or going into our 46th year. I came in, you know, I think it was 38 years or 35 years when I came in before. And it's been a great run and seeing our youth accomplish what they accomplish.
Kudos to you for the work that you're doing, especially with our young people. You know, our organization is called the Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders Project. One of the reasons why it was so important for me to have an opportunity to do this interview with you is because you fit that so well in terms of your career, in terms of who you are, the sense of giving back. But I want you to share just a little bit about how it feels at this present time to be the first African-American, the first former professional tennis player, and the youngest person to serve as president of the United States Tennis Association, which is a 135-year-old organization.
You know what? I would say it's surreal. You know, I would say it was more, you know, 3 years ago when those accolades came and I was appointed. It was pretty cool. It was frightening. It was rewarding. It was all of those things wrapped up in one. And I say that because, you know, I became recognized for all of the things that you just mentioned. And so I got a lot more attention than any of my predecessors, have, but, you know, I also have a, you know, with that, with all of those, I bring a unique perspective, unique experience to the table, and that I think have been relatable to so many. And it also was an image of embracing and inclusiveness. And so I've used that platform, I've used multiple platforms, including this one with you, to really tell our story about who we are and what we are accomplishing. We are the national governing body in tennis, and it is about getting as many people into the game as possible. But, you know, we want tennis to look like America when it comes to our diversity and inclusion numbers.
Yes.
And that's, you know, every day that's our motivating goal. We've come a long way in our sport, a sport that is not known to have African Americans being included, and you know, going back into the 50s, and so to know where we are and what we've accomplished on the court and on the professional level with our champions, and then to me being in this role, I don't take it lightly. It's something that it's a huge responsibility for me. I nurture it, I embrace it, And I just try to be the best ambassador for our sport that I can, and motivating that next generation to say, I too can do this if I so choose to.
Well, you know what, Ms. Adams, I think I speak for myself, but I also think I speak for the majority of us that you represent. Well, we couldn't be prouder or happier for you. You are an inspiration. You are a motivation. You show us by leading by example what humility looks like, what brilliance looks like, what sportsmanship looks like. On behalf of the Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders Project, we want to say thank you for just genuinely being who you are and the contributions that you have made and that you continue to make to our society.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and best of luck to everyone who's out there that are trying to motivate someone else to be better tomorrow than who they are today.
All right. I love you. Thank you. And you take care.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This program has been made possible by the generous support of Shear Realty, exceeding expectations for over 37 years. Visit us online at dvlproject.com and follow us on Facebook. Join us next week at 6 a.m. on this station for two high-energy guests, legendary blues man Ray Brooks and young visionary founder and CEO Terrence Stone. You don't want to miss either one of these guys. Remember, be kind to yourself and others, and be the change you want to see.
I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary. I'm a leader. I'm extraordinary. Can get you down sometimes, it seems. I'll never let it take away my dreams.
You have been listening to High Desert Dialogue, a public service program of El Dorado Broadcasters. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for High Desert Dialogue, email us at vvpsa@edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer serving the greater High Desert area on great stations like Y102, Cat Country 100.7, 106.5 The Fox, Talk 960, and HD 96.3. Join us again next weekend at the same time for High Desert Dialogue.